Backpack Broadcasting continues to bring you the best original sports content, but now you can get more of the content you love. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to bonus content, including behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from the Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, or the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All this exclusive content comes via Patreon. There are tiered levels of patronage, and each Backpack Broadcasting patron receives exclusive perks. Your support helps Backpack Broadcasting create more of the original content that you love. Visit Backpack Broadcasting's Patreon page and become a patron today. Hard to Tell podcast episode 56. Dexter Henry Brian Fonseca, and we have two very special guests here today with us. And this is pretty much going to be we're just going to be talking NBA, talking some basketball hoops. We have Jamal Murphy. He's the executive producer and co-host of the Bros Pod with my man Bill Roden, and we also have Darrell Johnson. He's the editor of the Harlem Times and NBA columnist at the New York Beacon. Guys, what's up? So glad to have you guys here.
Glad to be here.
What up?
So when we had Gerard here for episode 53, I mentioned the group chat, and that's how this kind of got put together.
So people listening, this is part of the group chat.
A lot of hateration out there.
Now, I am not in the group chat. Not that I'm feeling any kind of way about not being there.
Oh, we'll start another one.
But I've heard interesting things about this group chat. A lot of NBA discussions that come up in this group chat that I found quite interesting. I heard things get a little bit
interesting. You
know, interesting. Yeah. We don't want to say contentious. Nobody dislikes anybody. No.
Right.
We're just talking sports. Not that serious here.
Right. Yeah.
But we have some interesting conversations that go. Before we get into that, because we will get into that, we always love when we have fellow journalists come up here. We like them to talk a little bit about their background, how they got into what they do. Opportunity for you guys to talk about yourself. Darrell, I'll start with you. I've known you for quite some time. Long time in this game. Pretty much since I've been in the game too. Tell people about, for people who don't know from you, I know you rep Harlem all day. Tell them a little bit about you.
Yeah, so I speak to kids a lot. I tell them I never wanted to be a journalist until I was a journalist. I approached a brother who's not living anymore, Mark Raspberry, about us starting a blog together. So we started the Raz and Jazz Sports Blog. What I did not know, I knew Mark was a sports photographer. So my idea was my writing his photos. I did not know he was the sports editor of the New York Beacon. So he gave me a test assignment without telling me he was the editor. Huh. He liked what I wrote and then hired me to write for the paper. So I essentially went from a Knicks fan in August of 2010 to interviewing Amari Stoudemire, you know, at the NBA store 2 weeks later. So it was a quick transition, but this is year 9 now for me, covering the NBA, writing for the Beacon, and it's a journey I never would have thought I would be on.
See, that always shows you there's many different ways to get in the game, right?
The glory years of Raymond Felton and Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
That was a great half season before they blew it up.
A glory year.
Yeah.
Thank you for singularizing that, because it's not glory years.
How was Raymond Felton?
I saw Raymond Felton in the Charlotte locker room, and it shocked me because I forgot he was on the team.
Like, yeah. He's still at OKC, right?
Yeah.
Was it OKC?
I was like, he's in Charlotte? Okay, that went over.
It's OKC.
Okay.
Yeah, it's OKC. He's still OKC. You know, he is OKC. Similar colors.
Yeah,
similar colors.
Yeah.
Jamal, what? Jamal?
He's not playing, so.
Yes.
Russell.
Yeah, well, and then Schroeder's kind of taking his minutes that he had last year.
Well, Schroeder's better.
True.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Jamal, what about you? We heard how Darrell got in the game. How did you get into this journalism podcasting thing, too, as well?
Wow, so I've always been like a crazy sports fanatic, like, since like day one, like probably like 5 years old, I've been like some crazy fan. So if I would have done what I probably should have done, like come out of college and just be a sports journalist, you know, that's probably what I should have done if I would have followed my heart. But I went, you know, I went after college, I went to law school, you know, so I'm an attorney by trade. doing all that. And I was still always in the mix in sports, like either blogging or whatever. And then Bill Roden, who's always a friend of my father's from back in the day, he knew I was writing and blogging and stuff. This is about 4 years ago or so. And he approached me about maybe, you know, doing some sort of website. He knew he was going to leave the Times at mm-hmm. some point. And so we talked about that. We were going to do that. And then he got this podcast opportunity from like CBS, or I think it was CBS. So he did one show, and then he brought me in there. And then we just, you know, from then on, we just kept doing it. And we still haven't done the website, by the way.
Right.
Crazy.
But the podcast, which is great. We love the podcast.
Website coming soon.
The website is still coming soon, you know what I'm saying? So that, you know, so besides that, you know, freelance writing and writing for, you know, CBS Sports, CBS Local, I've done some stuff for USA Today, you know, cover all sports, particularly basketball, college basketball. College basketball is probably my heart. For some reason, I don't
know. That's what you
know
love.
What I'm saying? Yeah. From day one.
But you don't think it's better than the NBA, like some people have said.
I mean, what do you mean? You know, they're not better players for sure.
Well, that's what I was. That's what.
Well, some people like to allude to that.
They're better right. players. How
yeah,
is
and
possible?
And then the product is better.
That's what we're
which
saying.
I also don't agree with.
Yeah,
you can enjoy it more.
Well, college basketball is different because it's not just about the players. It's more like. You got to be into like the whole 8-league situation, mm-hmm. ACC, Big mm-hmm. East. You got to be fans of that.
Yeah,
you know it helps if you went to one of the schools. I didn't even go to any like a big time college basketball school.
I went to NEC school.
But, you know, so there's more involved. It's like, you know, it's not just the NBA. If you're straight basketball and you want to see the best basketball players in the world and the best coaches and all that, it's the NBA. But college is like, you know, there are storylines and all kinds of stuff.
No, I can see that. That makes sense.
Yeah. And you see the kids who are going to be pros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you also don't act like some of these other people where, you know, they think the college game is better. And, you know, they enjoy that the NCAA does not pay any of these athletes.
No, I can't go that far. That's ridiculous.
He's like, oh, I won't go there. I do want to ask you one thing. I remember you following me on Twitter, and I saw your Twitter handle. I was like, "Yo, Blackatologist." I love that. I think it's dope. How'd you come up with that?
I don't even remember. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I came up with it or someone else came up with it. I can't remember. It was a long time.
I was like, "Who is this guy? I like this." And then I looked until like,
but
okay.
it really goes back to my college basketball like history and nerddom. Like when it comes to college basketball, like I've always done like the bracketology thing, like predict who's gonna be in the
you're
tournament,
really into that,
like
right.
Lenardi and,
yeah.
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like I'm nicer than Lenardi. You know what I'm saying? You could. There's a
wow.
web.
Oh, I
there's like
this.
There's like websites up that you could check the numbers. You know what I'm saying?
That you have been more accurate than him.
Yeah.
You know why aren't you getting your due?
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Time will come.
Are you gonna publicize this right when we get into conference play so that people can know to pay attention to you starting in January?
Yeah, I usually do that. So I mean, so basically, it comes from that.
All right, I'm
the black bracketologist.
Before the March Madness comes, we're gonna have to have you up to talk about that.
Oh yeah, yeah,
we'll have you back
no
for
question.
That for sure.
But then the bracketologist has like morphed into other things too because it was meant for that. But then I'm also like political, and I'm like you know I'm pro black. You know, just to be honest,
I'm saying.
I'm all good with that.
Right.
So it's morphed into like a whole bunch of different things, you know. So people
now one of the things that we know that you're pro, we're going to transition nicely here, and Darrell now he's perked up a little bit here. One of the debates I was told about that happens in this group chat that we mentioned before
quite often.
Okay,
literally every day.
And so this. So, guys, this is enjoyable for me because I'm getting to see this sort of play out in a way that I have not got to experience that Brian has.
You can see my face. I'm excited.
All right. This is probably, I don't think many people listen to this podcast thinks it's a topic that we were going to go into, but we're going to go into this. Trae Young.
It's not a debate.
Whether there is a debate among these two gentlemen that are here with us, whether he is a, and I want to be clear, whether he is a good player or not. Is that, am I correct in my?
Are we?
Am I phrasing the
Darrell,
discussion
is
correctly?
Is that it,
Darrell?
Is that really it?
Okay, no. Let me just ask Darrell then, Darrell, because I know kind of where you stand on this.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Trae Young, the player? We want to be clear. We do not dislike anybody personally. We do not know these people. We are just talking about the players. How do you feel about Trae Young, the player?
So I've said before, you know, I think we can already toss the Steph Curry comparisons out the window.
Who came up with those? I'm sorry, I can't interrupt.
A lot of people do make those comparisons.
That was a comparison that was out there, though. We can't ignore
it. It still is.
And somebody asked this to Andre Iguodala. Iguodala cut the guy off before he finished asking the question because it's that bad of a comparison. it is. The other issue is Atlanta traded him for Luka Doncic.
That's something else I'd love to get into.
You know, that is already... I think we can, unless Luka gets hurt, they lost that trade.
Somebody
already.
I want to. I'm gonna let you continue, but I want to stop you.
Let me pull up the actual trade while you guys are.
Just last night, I had a friend text me, and he asked me, "Is that the worst draft day trade and miss ever?" And I was kind of being like, to put what Jamal said. And I was like, let me think about that. Can we say that already? Is it too early? Just because I usually like to judge draft picks, you know, three, four years in the league, you got to see what they develop into.
And this was the trade, but, by the way.
I would also like to say, Brian knows this, I was very high on Luka Doncic. I was high on Luka Doncic way before
the draft. Before the 2017 draft.
I was very high in this game. let
me just say, you mentioned, I mean, I don't know what your friend. I mean, it's a crazy thing just now because
he wasn't making a point. He was just asking a question.
Yeah, but usually, like a bad trade involves a player who is a bust, like already.
You can't say anybody's a bust. I'm with you.
But usually, like a guy, like, oh, was that the worst trade ever? And it's a guy, oh, is he still in the league?
So you're saying maybe it's not even fair to ask that question.
I mean, it's
very early. The trade was Doncic for Trae Young. And a 2019 first round pick, which is top five protected.
Darrell is saying
they got a pick also.
It was another it was Trae Young and a first round pick
for this year.
They got Trae Young. So Atlanta got Trae Young and a pick
and the 2019 first.
Yeah,
round.
Okay. Because it says
I forgot about that.
Yeah, because it says Luka, because he was the third pick. Trae Young was fifth. It says Luka was traded by the Hawks to the Mavericks for Trae Young and a 2019 first round pick, which is top five protected.
Basically,
Dallas is not going to be in the top five.
The Mavs moved up to get Doncic. That's basically the way you can look at it now. You feel, because of the early returns, so I'm clear, Darrell, continue your point. You feel the early returns.
Break those down, too. Give me some numbers.
There are people, I am not one of them, but there are people who think Luka is going to be one of the best players in the NBA in 5 years. And Dexter is one of those people.
Yeah. Okay.
I think
maybe less than five. I mean,
I'm not going to go.
It could be 3 to 5 years.
Yes.
I don't think there's anyone who thinks that about Trae Young, that he's going to be one of the best players in the league in 3 to 5 years.
Do you think there's any shot that he could be? Because it sounds like you don't. You think there's zero shot.
Zero.
Yes. Zero.
When Trae Young has a game that goes there.
Because I want people to understand your position where you come from before we get to Jamal. Do we understand your position?
I think he has the potential to be a average, maybe above average player. When you get drafted top five, you're supposed to be a star.
Ideally you would like that to happen.
All star at least, right?
What is it that you don't like or what is it that you don't see that makes you feel the way that you do?
His size. You know.
And can I ask you another question? I mean to cut you off. Did you feel this way pre-draft?
Yeah, I felt that way at the draft.
Which is key to this conversation.
They're both being consistent
because
pre-draft.
That's my thing about Darrell's take. I think, and I say it to you all the time, he had a hot take with pre-draft.
Okay.
And he stuck to the hot take. It's okay to have a hot take, but if it doesn't work out, just let it go. You know, we're never going to forget.
Do we know that it hasn't worked? Do we know that it hasn't worked?
Yeah, that's how we know. You want to know why? Let's talk about why.
Why so?
He's averaging 16 and 7, right?
Yeah.
No. 16.
15 and 7, 15.5,
like rounded up.
Yeah. And that's one thing. That's one thing.
You see the hate. I got so much on it. I actually talked to Trae Young about this
last
week.
He did.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And he knows this is... He knows he has haters out there.
Did you mention Darrell to Trae Young?
Not by name.
So like, if Trae Young sees Darrell at a Hawks Knicks game,
I didn't want to do that.
And he's looking at Darrell.
I didn't want to do that.
Yo, man, why are you hating on me?
I have too much respect for Darrell to do that.
It was Hawks versus Nets, and everyone was talking to Jeremy Lin.
And so you slid off.
Jamal seized the opportunity.
Okay, now does
good journalism
to make sure it's good. Does Trae
I'd rather talk
does
to Trae
Young,
Young
know that you are a supporter of him, or at least you appear to be?
He must know because of the way I phrased the questions.
But you interviewed him at Jordan Brand also,
right?
I did.
Yeah.
And in fact, he's better than I thought he would be at that time. At that time, I didn't think he was a one-and-done guy. I thought Sexton was better. Just
I don't think anyone thought he was going to lead.
The practices I saw, I was like, oh, I was looking at Sexton as the best point guard there.
Okay.
So he's surprised. But then he goes to college, and he leads the nation. He's the only player ever to lead the nation in points and assists. I think it was 27 and like 8 point something.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody has ever done that, ever. So people say, so I was thinking about this, why, and I asked Trey, why do you have so many haters? Like, it's crazy. I was like, you know, do you hear this in the background, all these haters? He's like, yeah. He was like, I don't know. He was like, I never knew that playing basketball would cause playing basketball would cause so many people to hate me, you know? But my theory is the hype, okay? Because he led the nation in points and assists, which is it's never been done before, okay? So it's a feat. No matter what you want to say, it's never been done before. No one's ever done it.
Right.
Okay? So he got hype off of that, which is understandable, right? Because nobody's done it. Then I get the Steph Curry comparisons.
Yeah.
Which is just unfair.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't say, hey, I'm the next Steph Curry, watch me.
Yeah. He didn't ask
he was drafted higher, too.
Right, he was drafted higher. Because, you know, Steph Curry never led the nation in assists. He might have been there up there in points.
I'm sure he was up there. Yeah,
definitely points for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, so people, you know, ESPN, everybody talking about Steph Curry. I mean, Steph Curry is a 2-time MVP. People consider Steph Curry the best shooter of all time. He has 3 NBA championship rings. That's not even fair.
Yeah.
I mean,
agreed.
to even put him in the same category.
And you know what it is? Because Steph Curry is overachieved because he never had a precedent. He just kind of came in the league, and even though he was, whatever, the 7th overall pick, the expectations weren't high for him that much, so he's already broken that sort
of
glass ceiling.
A lot of people thought
ceiling.
He was picked too high.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people did. And then with Trae Young, since he has a precedent, now the pressure's on, and it's like, you got to be Curry.
And I do think he's fallen victim to it a little bit. And I admit that because I do think
he's a kid.
That all of a sudden, once those comparisons started, all of a sudden Trae Young started taking deeper and deeper threes.
You saw that in summer league, and that did not look good.
And really for no reason.
Still
like
doesn't.
You look at his I said the one thing that people, your detractors or your haters will point to is your shooting percentage. That's really pretty much all you can say.
Which is what Durrell loves
too.
What's his turnover rate? And granted, I would like to know.
Okay, that's good. His turnover, as of before the Brooklyn game, because I wrote something on it, he was 3.9 turnovers a game, which was 6th in the league. Your boy Luka Doncic, 3.5.
No, 3.5.
9th in the league. Nobody disses Doncic over that.
They should, and they should also qualify that by saying, and
I wouldn't kill either of them.
I don't
care. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'd kill Doncic.
One, it's hard to run a team as a rookie, right?
And who else does he have on that team?
Right. I would expect, because look at the Hawks, I would expect with the ball in his hands a lot for him to turn the ball over a lot because there are guys who are, no disrespect to some of the other guys on the team, that are more incompetent. Luka's still running the team. Sexton has high turnover numbers as well, too.
And injured also, because Taurean Prince is hurt and John Collins was hurt.
Those things matter.
And there's no real comparison between the teammates that Doncic has. I mean, he has 2 max guys.
No. He's playing with better talent.
He's playing with better talent, no doubt. And to me, the biggest thing with Trae Young that makes it not really a debate in my mind is the assist total. I mean, the kid...
He's an elite-level passer
already.
I agree.
On the NBA level.
I agree.
He's been top 10 in assists all year. He's 11 now. He's been a top 10 assist guy.
With teammates.
No one else. Yeah. Who is he passing to? And
Vince Carter.
When you look, go look at the top 15
in
NBA assists. You're not going to find a bum anywhere in there. You're not going to find anybody who you're like... They're all good to great players in that who are averaging 7 assists or more.
Now, with all that said, we've thrown out some numbers here, Durrell. We've said all that. You did not care for him. You said you were concerned about the size before the draft. I feel like I'm just stirring stuff up here in this episode. What do you say to that, right? Like, because I feel like there's some fair points to be made on that side. What do you say to that?
Absolutely. Well, first, I watched him last year in college, probably not as much as Jamal did because Jamal is a huge college
He's the blacketologist, man.
Yeah.
But, don't come at me on Kyle.
he had horrible shooting nights. Towards the second half of the season,
he struggled in conference play.
Yeah,
definitely.
I see a 2 of 11 game from three.
It happens.
I see a 1 of 9 game back to back. So that's 3 of 20 from the college 3-point line in back to back college games,
which is 15%, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. So I think his body wore down as the season went on. College season, he played on average 2 games a week. He's eventually going to get bigger. He has not gotten bigger from last year to this year. His body seems to already be wearing down from 2 games a week to 4 games a week. Can he deal with the physical play of the NBA? He did something interesting yesterday. I was at the game. Mm-hmm. Hawks played the Knicks yesterday.
Speak on it.
First game of the season where Trae Young did not shoot a 3-pointer.
That's my boy.
Yes.
So maybe he's starting to get it.
Hey, let me just now, can I just say one thing?
Yes.
Since I spoke to him,
you gave him that talk. Yeah. You let him know.
Since I talked to him, and I through my questions, I think I said I was basically telling him, just chill with the crazy shot selection,
right,
and just run the team.
Right.
The last 3 games, he's shooting 47%, 50% from 3, averaging 16 and 8. The last 3 games, he's shooting less.
Small sample, but nice.
You know,
I
think he's starting to get it.
And Darrell says that that was the first game he did not shoot a 3, which was against
the whole season. Game 31. You know what he's shooting from 3-point range on the season?
It's not Steph Curry like. I can say that.
It's about half of what Steph Curry is shooting.
20?
25.
25%.
Yeah.
He's shooting 25% from 3-point range. Now, I don't watch enough Atlanta Hawks games to, and I don't want to, be able to figure this out. I would love to see the look on the faces from his teammates when he shoots one of those Steph Curry-esque 3-pointers. Shooting 25%.
I would assume, though, if I'm one of those teammates, unless you're Kent Bazemore, who gets Tim Hardaway Jr. like and start feeling himself, who else do you want to shoot on that team?
That's another one of his boys, Tim Hardaway Jr., by the way.
We're going to get to that.
He's got a foot in.
We're going to get to Tim Hardaway Jr. This is fun. but Jarrell, who else do you want shooting on that team?
Anybody.
Wait, you would rather Kent
Bazemore? Hey, John Collins could shoot.
Kent Bazemore shoot the 3 than...
Well, Kent Bazemore likes to shoot. But,
oh, yes, he does. You
know, he is averaging 7.2 assists, which is a good number. I don't like the turnovers, but he is a rookie.
Do you think he's an elite-level passer? Because I think he's already elite-level passer.
And turnover,
if not, he's close.
He's still number one amongst rookies.
I think it's very rare rookies.
Turnover ratio.
He is. I think it's very rare rookies that do something that you come in and you say, oh, man, that's elite. You may have questions about the other parts of the game, but at least I can say when I look at him, I see elite-level passing.
I don't know if I would say elite.
Okay.
But coming into the league, he's supposed to be an elite shooter. Would you all agree he's a shooter?
His 2K rating was very high.
To go to what Jamal said, and I do agree, and I'm not saying that you were saying this or anybody else, there was a hype around him from the media that kind of project him as elite level shooter. And as Brian was saying, you had those comparisons to Steph Curry, excuse me. So there became these, whether it was fair or not, these expectations, right, that people had. And then I think we saw very quickly in Summer League, if we want to take it back to before the season, that maybe that wasn't there. I have not seen elite level shooting, and I think your numbers prove that it's not elite level shooting.
Yeah, he's not an elite shooter. I think he's a good shooter mechanically. You know basketball, right?
Yeah.
So you watch him play. Do you see? There's no hitch in his shot. Like in fact, when he just shoots a regular 3-pointer and he's not trying to shoot it from 30 feet, he's pretty good.
Quick release.
I bet you if you took all those 30-foot shots out of it, he'd have a much higher percentage.
But I do.
So it's the shot selection, really.
I agree, and I do think there's something to that, and maybe it's to what Darrell's bringing up that. Maybe if he, or maybe your pep talk did this and that, he is calming it down.
Thank you.
This is more for Jarrell. If he calms it down and he's shooting less threes or less contested threes, do you see him becoming, I don't want to say somebody to become MVP or
all-star.
Become the best, an all-star. Do you think, let me put it like this. Is he a centerpiece player that you believe the Hawks can build around?
I don't think a centerpiece player. I think
is he a complimentary player?
I think yes.
You could say John Collins is the centerpiece of that team. You could argue that.
Yeah, I would just. I mean, I like Collins.
I would go.
No, I'm saying you could argue that. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
But you think he could? You think he can be a complimentary?
I think you
player.
Can build
yes.
both of them.
I don't think they have a centerpiece player on their roster.
Okay,
right now.
That could be argued.
But I think that. Okay.
And you're saying if they would have drafted Luka, they would have one.
Luke is a centerpiece player.
I do agree.
I mean, I
think most people would agree with that now. Yeah. You seem like you're not sold.
I mean, I'm not sold as like he's the best player on a championship team or anything. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sold on that.
I agree with that. He could be. But I'm not ready to call that yet.
My thing is I think Luka's good. I think before he's very good player. He does a lot of things well, right? You want to talk about elite, like something elite in your game. You know, he's not, unlike Trae Young, he's not top 10 in any category, but he's very good in most categories. So he scores well, right? What is he having, like 18?
He's under 20, I think.
Right.
Like,
so, and then he's like rebounding about seven rebounds, about five assists. You know what I'm saying? So he's doing everything well. He's shooting 43%, and then 30 something from three. Okay.
Yeah.
So though, you know,
19, 7, and 5, roughly.
I mean, he's a good player. He's young. We assume he's going to get better, and we're giving him. We're not mentioning any of his negatives. Like I never hear anybody complain about the turnovers or the shooting percentage. That's fine. And I just want the same. I just want the same treatment for everybody else,
which is fair.
Free Trae Young,
but Trae is shooting 38% from the field.
Yeah, right. but even
struggling from the field.
Yeah, but even going into the draft, I remember we were saying that Luka should have been the first pick.
I thought so.
I don't know how you felt.
I didn't. What I said was, I just hadn't seen enough, and I also, like when I hear a narrative out there, and some, you know, I start to question, you know, where that narrative is coming from,
right?
And the media and media bias.
Who in the media, right?
And you know, I did actually try to do my research. I went and looked at his tape.
I appreciate people who did this because you know how I feel about that.
Right. Yeah. I looked at the tape. Obviously, he was doing impressive things. You know, the best league overseas by far. Mm-hmm. He was the MVP. But when I saw the tape, I was like, okay, I don't really see the quickness. And who is he playing against? I know these are pro, like grown men pros. But I just felt that people were, you know, the people who were like, oh, he's by far the best player in the draft. I thought that you're kind of dismissing what college basketball does have to offer in terms of like the ACC or, you know, some of the big conferences is like athleticism. Was that same, like, what about the athleticism that the other kids are going against that I didn't see in his league?
So you feel like that narrative is sort of being carried into what he's doing now?
No, yeah,
the pre-draft sort of.
And the fact that the NBA people kind of, I must have agreed with me because he didn't go one through, I mean.
Clearly, he went five.
Right.
I mean, technically.
Three to five, or whatever.
Right.
So now that you're right, I get it. Like you're kind of proven right, so you're like, so it's like overdoing it in terms of like how good he is.
I don't think that the point you're making about the narrative that's out there is wrong, right? I think that sometimes, and what I will say is, I do think people may undervalue the athleticism that are placed in the top college conferences here in the States, but they also might also undervalue the competition that is in EuroLeague. EuroLeague is really good.
More experienced, and I think
there's something to say that. That also doesn't mean that every international player that comes over is going to be good. We've had our Darko Milicic's and other people, right?
Yeah.
What I will say is what I saw with him was kind of something I saw when I was watching Porzingis. I thought he had a good feel for the game.
Porzingis I liked. But when athleticism. Watched, Porzingis had
athleticism. That's true. Athleticism. It was more athletic than him. But there was something. You know what? Doncic reminded me a lot of a Paul Pierce who can handle the ball better, and I thought he wasn't over-athletic. And I love Paul Pierce in college. I loved him at Kansas. Mm. But I liked that about his game. I just thought he had a good feel. There's something about him that he has a good feel
for
the game.
There's no doubt.
And I'm not saying Trae Young can't either. Where I stand on Trae Young, if anybody cares, we talked about you guys.
We care.
My thing on Trae Young is I think that there's some truth to what you're saying. I think there's some truth to what you're saying.
Agreed.
Right? I think that Trae Young is a victim of some of the hype that surrounded him. And I think he's a little bit better than what he has shown. I think he also plays on a bad team. I think he's had to shoot a lot. I think the ball's in his hands a lot, so you kind of have to expect a lot of the turnovers that we've been seeing. It's also hard to run an offense in the NBA, right, as a young guy.
Especially when you don't have talent around you.
Yeah, all these young guys are going to turn the ball over.
But he plays with Vince Sanity.
Stop it. But, you know,
who probably will be good for him in the long run.
I do. I think Trae Young can be – I think he has all-star potential. Do I think
–
the big question I think is going to come out that I kind of was – my friend was asking me is, do you think people will regret the trade between him and Doncic? I think Doncic will be the better player, but that's also because I thought Doncic was a better player before.
I would like to know who they get in the first round.
I think there can be regret, but a lot of that depends on who comes around Doncic and who comes around Trae Young. If Trae Young gets the support around him and that team becomes good, it's good. Just because the Mavs are – mediocre right now doesn't mean that's how they're going to trend upward. But we'll see. I don't think Trae Young's going to be bad. I don't think he's a bum.
And Don,
I'm not saying that you were saying, I don't be clear. Darrell was not saying that, so I'm clear on that.
He's not saying it here. And going back to Doncic, I think, and when I first saw him in preseason, I changed my mind because he looked bigger. You know what I'm saying? When I watched him, you know, on film, he looked like a 6'6 guy. All of a sudden, he's in preseason, he's like 6'8.
Yeah.
You know, did he grow?
I don't know if he did. I didn't see that, but I know he did lose some body fat because he was just playing. He hadn't taken time to train his body. Mark Cuban said something about this recently. He hadn't taken time to actually work on his body. So I think that probably helped him too. And for both of these players, I think as we watch their bodies change as they get older, we'll see. I think a lot more. Look how skinny Steph Curry was. I hate to bring back the comparison, but people had questions about his body.
Thanks a lot.
Right? Yeah, sorry.
You could also say like Kevin Garnett, Porzingis.
Yeah, who knows? You don't know.
Durant.
Okay. You don't know.
Yeah.
Before
the draft, you said that you would have taken DeAndre Ayton, Jamal, over Luka Doncic?
Yeah, no question.
How do you feel about that now?
Fine. Like, I think that comparison, and I was talking about this on Twitter the other day, it's not clear who is the better player, especially efficiency wise. Ayton is great, and if you watch him, the kid can do everything. He can shoot
except play defense.
I think.
Well, I mean, it's early, right?
Too. People can develop. I'm a big believer.
You want to talk about? I mean, he leads rookies by far in double doubles.
Doubles. Yep.
Trae Young second, by the way. You know? So I mean,
why'd you look at Durant?
But to me, those three guys, like you talk about Jaren. Like there are other people in the chat that want to bring up other guys. You know, like Jaren Jackson Jr. Yes, he's great.
Jackson.
He has a lot of potential. True, but I'm talking about as a rookie stepping into it right now. It's really those three guys who've been like forced into action. Like you are a starter. You're like the main cog in our future. Let's see what you got.
Luka, DeAndre, and Trae.
Those are the guys who have been pushed in. Maybe Sexton a little bit, but it took him a while. At first, they didn't do that at the very beginning. Right. They had to fire Lou.
Yep.
in order to trade George Hill.
Right. You know, so those three guys have been pushed into it. And to me, all three of those guys have had a very good rookie season. They've shown a lot. So I don't think we know who the winner, especially Ayton, and he's a big man. You know, I mean, Ayton is, I mean, that's the way the NBA works. You take the big man first.
See, that's where we disagree. Because we were talking about this before, and I don't think you take the big man anymore if he can't necessarily get you anything from the perimeter or if he can't score late in games, which I'm not sure DeAndre Ayton is going to be able to do yet, where I know that I can put the ball in Luka Doncic's hands late in games or even Trae Young late in games,
you don't think
and
Ayton,
they can get me a bucket.
But if Ayton is giving you what? I don't know what that, but I would assume he's like 18 but he's, and 10.
Like 17,
yeah, but he's
17,
not,
18, 10.
But he's not, they but can he's, go to not him late? He's not creating offense for me down the stretch. I would have to give it to him
but see, here's
post,
the thing. That,
or
that,
find a way to get it to him.
I would say how you feel about that depends on it's all projections, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's
it's
the problem. That's the problem.
I don't trust Ayton to do it right now, but that doesn't mean he can't do it or won't do it. I'm not saying that. He could. I think he's.
But if you know Luka can do it right now, and if you think he's.
With a good team around him.
Yeah, and if you think he's better, you know what I mean? I mean, I think. I still think Luka.
Like, what if Luka was on the Hawks and he had no one to pass to?
Remember, I told you this before.
He'd probably be leading the league in turnovers.
Maybe.
That doesn't mean I wouldn't think he's good.
I do think he
would step up his scoring. Or, like, you think he'd be like averaging 23?
Yeah, and he probably. As a result,
but I don't think he'd be as efficient.
Yeah, but
that's
what I was going to say.
He might not be as efficient.
He might not be as efficient, but I do think that the Hawks will probably have a couple more wins.
You're right. And I'm not saying he's uber efficient now, but I agree with that point.
Right.
I just think he would have the pressure that Trae Young has on him where you have to shoot a lot of bad shots.
Like, I don't think DeAndre Ayton on the Hawks would have made sense either.
Go ahead, Durant. You want
to
say something?
Yeah, I want to make a couple of points. We actually did early the season see the ball in the hands of Trae Young with the game on the line, and got a shot blocked by Tyson Chandler.
In fact, we've seen it multiple times. Yeah. He's won some and lost some. But
well, you're not going to win a lot of games.
But
with
your question. But your question was whether the Hawks will regret it, right? That, going back to your question.
Well, yeah, that was kind of the question my friend had posed to me that I kind of don't know if we can really answer that.
And there was more to it. And when you hear,
even if Luka's great, you got to wait to see who they get with the second first round pick.
And there's also more to it, you know, in terms when you hear people who cover the Hawks, or you know, people from Atlanta. There was more to it than just basketball. You know, it was like, are our fans going to relate to, you know, a foreign guy as our star? You know, Trae Young was like already a YouTube sensation, and
yeah.
And people in Atlanta, you know, are hype over Trae Young.
He has a star quality. You
know? See,
I'm not saying that's right or wrong. Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there.
I don't think it's right, not because you got to get the best damn basketball player you can in there. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, you know what fans like? Winning. Right? Yeah. Remember how many Knicks fans were like, oh, I don't know about Porzingis. You and I said we like Porzingis from seeing him. I was on the Porzingis train.
A lot of Knicks fans
A lot of Knicks fans did it. You know what they like about Porzingis now? That he was giving buckets last year before he got hurt.
Yeah.
You can give buckets and you can help me win. People are like you.
But my point is those three guys, to me, are close enough. At this moment. Now, will Luka Doncic go on and be an MVP of the league?
Maybe.
Then I'll be like, oh, okay, you might have been right. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like,
yeah.
But we got to wait and see.
He's going to get all-star consideration this season. Like, he is.
Well, partly because of the, you know, the media hype.
I think if you're ranking in rookie ladders or whatever the case, I'm having Luka first, Ayton second, and Trae Young third right now.
Speaking of rookie ladders,
uh-oh.
I pulled up the Kia rookie ladder on NBA.com.
Trae Young's an honorable mention.
Luka first, sure nobody disagrees with that.
Right.
Ayton second, sure nobody disagrees with that. Here's where it gets a little...
I know who's third, Jaren Jackson Jr.
No.
Really?
It's Kevin Knox is third.
Are you kidding
me? What? I'm a Knicks fan. He's only had a good
I think it's literally ladder. Like, but they're just going by, like...
Who did he jump on that ladder that deserves to be third?
Well, Trae Young?
No,
and
he's
only shooting 39% of himself.
Yeah, that's not fair.
He scored 15... a game for a 6 straight game. So he's
2.5 week stretch we're talking about?
Yeah. Trae Young's averaging 16. So for the whole season. Yeah.
Wait, how is this ladder determined?
I think it's based off of recency.
Stay off of NBA.com.
I think it's really based off recency.
I like what Kevin Knox has done.
I like Knox, don't get me wrong.
No, I think he's gonna be good. I think he's an all rookie team potential player.
But
maybe Knox could be the top three in this class.
Where's Trae Young, Darrell?
Colin Sexton is 4.
Oh, he's like, we're not even mentioning Trae Young.
This is an interesting number 5 that I certainly would have got.
Would
not have
Gilgeous gotten. Alexander?
Landry Shamet.
Oh, my. I'm
Who's doing these rankings?
NBA.com, what you mean?
No, they suck.
Just missed the cut.
Trae Young's an honorable mention, right?
Yes, just missed the cut. Jaren Jackson Jr., Trae Young and Kevin Herter.
And Rodion's Carooks.
Mo Carooks. Bamba. Yeah. Robert Williams III and Rodion's, like you said.
Yeah. I saw that last night because I was doing a piece on Carooks, which you can find on this.
Gilgeous Alexander's not there? I know he hasn't played well in the last couple weeks. Last 3 or 4 weeks, he's not been great.
But, Doc, I was in LA a couple of weeks ago, covered game.
Yeah.
Doc is very high on him.
I'm high on him too.
Yeah, I like him.
He can defend already.
He defends. He runs the team pretty well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's a guy nobody mentioned. What do you think? And I hear, I think I'm more positive on this guy than anybody.
Ooh, let me hear this.
Marvin Bagley.
Oh, okay. Oh. I was having a conversation with the same.
This
person.
Is funny. When we were all at the ACC tournament, I remember me and Gerard were watching Duke, North Carolina, and we were both saying that while we liked Bagley, we like Wendell Carter more. NBA-wise, and I think that right now they're about even in terms of production. Wendell Carter had 10 and 8 the other day, and
Bagley's face-up game is good.
Bagley's averaging 12.7 points a game in 23 minutes.
Carter's like 11 and 7?
10.5 in 25 minutes.
Yeah, and rebounds
to Bagley, Bagley's been off and on from the bench. Right. Jaeger has not consistently played him.
The Kings are better than the Bulls, so I mean,
yeah, that's
it's
true.
Gonna
Bagley's thing, I think, is you got to figure out where you're going to play him.
Yeah.
You play him at the 4 or the 5.
He's a
5. I like Bagley.
He's a 5 to me. I think he's a center.
I think
to
they
me.
Should.
In the new NBA, yeah.
I think
ideally,
they should play him at the 5.
I think, ideally,
I think
they
can find a good
4. Who is their 4? Who?
They've really been Bezhelika.
But they have a 5.
Cauley Stein.
Yeah.
Stein
has been better. I never liked Cauley Stein's
me
game.
Me neither.
But his numbers
but
are
I think,
okay.
See, I think Bagley, you can play next to a 5 like that who can block shots and rebound. Then you could play him at 4. I like Bagley. I think he still has some work to do defensively, but who doesn't as a rookie?
Right.
Yeah. That's good.
What's up, listeners and supporters of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast? We need some help from you, and it won't take up too much of your time.
As we grow, we always want to hear your feedback, so take a minute or two to fill out a short anonymous survey. The survey link is right in the episode notes for this podcast. It's easy and takes less than 5 minutes. As always, we thank you for your continued support.
All right, this is not the only thing you've talked about in the group chat. I've heard other things. I've heard that your boy is Tim Hardaway Jr.
I like Tim.
And he has the nerve to talk about now, field goal percentage.
Now I'm going to say something here before. Every time I'm a Knicks fan, everybody knows I'm a Knicks fan, but there's always somebody in the team that you're like, "Man, I can't just wait to take them to the airport." For me right now on this team, it's Tim Hardaway Jr. Not because I don't think Tim Hardaway can play at all. I just can't stand his shot selection. His shot selection drives me crazy, guys. Crazy. You think you like Tim Hardaway. I don't dislike Tim Hardaway. I think Tim Hardaway is an okay player. I think he's probably better served as a sixth man on a good team.
Right. That's what I said.
He could be a starting two if you have a really good four of the guys around them.
He was a sixth man for Atlanta the year that
Well, you don't have to worry about him jacking up crazy shots, okay? To this, you say what?
Well, first, you know, he is not a first option on an NBA team. And unfortunately...
Yes, unfortunately.
On the New York Knicks this season, he is the first option. I think... And he had a great first 20 games of the season or so. I think, Brian, you said you have him on your fantasy league team. He's putting up pretty big numbers.
And he's dropped off precipitously.
Yes. You know, but at one point,
as expected,
precipitously, about 25, maybe a little under that a game.
While shooting 41% from the field.
Which is obviously not good.
He's still top 20 in scoring.
He's the worst 20-point scorer in the NBA right now.
He's
like
efficiency-wise? In terms of efficiency, you mean?
Well, in terms of player also, other than maybe Zach LaVine.
I'll take Tim Hardaway over Zach LaVine.
Yeah, that's why I say other than
I don't know about that. I like
that's
what's wrong with LaVine?
It's kind of Tim Hardaway, but worse.
Well, actually, no, I might take
him. He's second year?
No,
he's like 4 years by now.
He's like 4 years old.
He's a gun also.
Go ahead,
But basically, we'll just like go into the chat part, right? So I had mentioned, I don't remember what the Hardaway stat was, and then I mentioned that Caris LeVert's easily better. Darrell rejected that premise, and then I said that Caris LeVert is easily better than Tim Hardaway. He would take Hardaway over Caris LeVert, and then that's where we were. And then I also said that I would take Dinwiddie over Hardaway, and he said, "In what world?" And then I said, "You're on crack," and now we're here.
Do you have you had the transcript in front of you?
Because that was like
on point. Let's just say
That was all from memory.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I won the Tim Hardaway versus Caris LeVert debate for this.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Caris got hurt.
One guy's not playing. That counts. That counts in the debate.
He has weak ankles, man. Come on.
Caris LeVert has weak. Well, here's the thing.
Is that fair to bring up? Because he's bringing up his durability. It does exist.
No, he had injury concerns leading into the draft. But what I will say about this one, though, this was a little more of a freak accident.
That's true.
This is a little like this one didn't require surgery either. This is just like a freak dislocation on a play.
But Darrell,
you're saying
that he loses points because you can't count on him.
Absolutely. The best of the best ability.
I mean, Hardaway has a foot injury now and he sucks.
The best ability is availability.
You really love Tim Hardaway, huh?
I mean, I like him as a player.
You said the best ability is durability.
The best ability is availability.
Availability, sorry.
You know, Tim's available. And he's had injury problems in the past, but not as much as Caris. So that went into my thinking of, right now, who would I take? I did admit that Caris probably has the higher upside. You've got to reach your upside.
Mm-hmm.
Upside is potential. Not everybody realizes their potential.
Right.
So that's why I said at that moment I would have took Tim Hardaway Jr. over Caris LeVert. The fact that Tim's playing, Caris is out for until spring maybe?
February? According to NYU doctor or physician or whatever, they said usually those injuries are 2 to 3 months, which would mean that he could come back in January. I don't see that happening because he's not sprinting yet. My guess, because Net fans, you guys would think I'm reporting this. My guess is that All-Star weekend would probably be around the time, which would be 3 months.
Okay. Yeah. So, Tim Hardaway putting up bad numbers, but he's playing.
Who's better, Tim Hardaway or Buddy Hield?
Mm-hmm. Based on what I've seen from Buddy Hield this season,
I'm taking Buddy Hield right now.
Hield.
That's a good one.
You want me to call the Kings and trade Tim Hardaway? I told you guys I'll drive him to the airport.
You'll say for straight up Buddy Hield.
Yeah. Wait,
yes.
I'm not appreciating this Tim Hardaway slander that we are doing on the show.
I can't believe this is the second show we've actually had an in-depth discussion.
Well,
about
Tim Hardaway. Karis LeVert's hurt, but I feel like even though I saw last year that he was showing what he could do this season, they just had him in a role coming off the bench, but he did average, I want to say 12 or so points, 4 or so assists, 3-something rebounds. He started playing better at the end of the year. And I feel like you started to see that even at Michigan. Like, he was a better all-around player. He was just younger, so Hardaway was starting.
And he does better. What do you like that he does better than Hardaway?
Crunch time.
Oh, that'll take better shots?
Oh, takes better shots also. Yeah.
He's an all-around player.
He's all-around just better. I said that Hardaway is probably better at one thing, and that's scoring, and I'm not so sure he's better at that because he's very inefficient with that. Not that Karis LeVert is super efficient, but he was more efficient this season before he got hurt, and granted, it was a brief period of time, which leads me to Spencer Dinwiddie, who is currently active, and we were talking about that as well. Now, with Spencer Dinwiddie, I also said that he is better than Hardaway at pretty much everything except maybe scoring, except he's probably better at him than that now because he is way better from the field. He also gets to the line more, and he's also got his three-point percentage intact, which last year was not the case, and he still got most improved votes because he did come out of nowhere and have the season that he had.
I'm taking Dinwiddie over Hardaway.
I feel like all 30 GMs are. I legitimately feel that way.
Except for Durrell.
Right. Well, yeah.
All right.
Durrell's not a GM.
Here's the thing that I...
He mentioned defense, and he mentioned Hardaway being a better defender, to which I guess you can talk about that. Dinwiddie has not had the greatest season defensively, but I will say this. In the NBA, point guards are more difficult to guard. They have the ball more. Shooting guards, not as much. If you were to switch them, who's to say that Hardaway wouldn't be getting blown by opposing point guards on a nightly basis? It probably would be happening.
Durrell?
Safe bet for me.
Well, hey, Fizdale is challenging Tim Hardaway Jr. defensively this season. People forget, defense is half the game. You play offense half the time, defense half the time. Fizdale talked about why he left Hardaway Jr. on Karis LeVert, where LeVert hit game winner at Barclays Center.
Oh, right.
And he talked about, you know, he's going back and forth with this guy that he went to college for, and then it's the final play of the game, and I'm going to tell him, hey, great job, but I'm going to put somebody else on him. He said, I might lose him for the rest of the season if I did that. Great point by Fizdale.
It is. Yeah.
Losing a battle for the long term.
Right.
I think it was the next game. The Knicks played Boston.
Boston, yep.
Jason Tatum hit a great turnaround jump shot on Tim Hardaway Jr.
He likes those a little bit too much, Jason
Tatum. Tim Hardaway Jr. played great defense on the play. Mm-hmm. It's just a great shot that Tatum made. So Hardaway is getting better defensively. Now, what I told Brian as well, this is clearly the best year of Dinwiddie's career. Are we convinced that this is the Spencer Dinwiddie we're going to see going forward? Is he going to do this on the Nets next year?
Mm-hmm.
How much can he go up from where he is now? Is he going to go down next year? Whereas Tim Hardaway, we've seen an uptick in him getting better every season, especially with scoring. Now, his shot selection is getting worse as well.
Oh, is it?
But if you look at when he's playing with Porzingis last year, as a second option, he was a lot more efficient. And that's what he is at best in the NBA. The best Tim Hardaway is going to be is a second option.
Ooh, I'd even say third.
I wouldn't argue that. But at best,
that's what I'm saying.
At best, he's.
But you're right. He looked better when he was not the primary guy.
One-dimensional guy.
He is.
I don't disagree with that.
But here's the thing.
Defense is a dimension.
I don't think he has that dimension? Yeah, I don't think he's a good
player. He's at least average with the potential to get better.
I think he's gotten better. I still don't love
him. He has a defensive-minded coach who's challenging him. He's responding to being challenged.
Well, why didn't he get the crossover from his pops? Like, I don't understand.
I agree with that. We got to ask Tim
question.
Here's the thing.
How do you not
going back to Hardaway as a second option,
I've seen Dinwiddie be the first option for the Nets before and thrive perfectly fine.
Dinwiddie's not a first option.
He's not. He's not.
I like Dinwiddie.
He's not. But I've seen him be the first option, and he's won games for them. He had the most game winners in the NBA last season.
I don't.
And this was a year where he only averaged 12 points in the
game.
Here's the thing. 12 points per game.
I trust Dinwiddie more with the ball in his hands. I guess that's the best way I put it.
Way more.
Well, he's a point guard.
But not every point guard. Not every point guard you're trusting more. Are you trusting Jose Calderon with the ball in his hands late in the game?
I do trust
over Tim Hardaway Jr.?
I do.
Seriously?
Yeah, I do.
Wait, you're being serious?
I'm being serious. Yeah, I do.
I'll take Hardaway over.
No, no, no.
Wait, what?
Tim Hardaway slander just went to a new level.
You didn't ask me whether or not I would want Tim Hardaway or Jose Calderon right now. You're asking me if you had to draw up a play and give the ball to somebody who don't want it to go to Tim Hardaway and Jose Calderon. Yeah, I think Jose Calderon's going to get a better quality shot.
Okay, I'm not even going that far.
Darrell, sorry, man.
Is this the first Jose Calderon mentioned on this?
Yes. Oh, yes, it is.
I hope so.
Yes, it is. Could you enlighten me, guys? What other debates are going on in this? Because this is all about NBA debates.
Larry Bird versus Kevin Durant.
Oh, wow.
So we talked about this when Gerard came up here. I actually think that's a good one.
It is.
I really feel like the ones you guys had before. I do think Doncic, Trae Young is a good topic to discuss too, though. But I think this is actually interesting.
Oh, and the other one, I'm not going to mention that one.
Wait, what's the other one? No, I'm going to know.
D'Angelo and Spencer, and what do you do there going
forward? Okay, and we both shared what we think
we should do.
Bird.
That's why I was like, now, it's going to be too long.
The Bird versus Durant thing, is it who's better all time? Is that what we're discussing?
Yeah.
In their primes, who do you want? That's the way I look at it.
In their primes, who do you want? Okay. I mean, I know how I feel. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think it's Bird. Like, I mean, the dude.
You don't even think it's a question.
In their primes, who do you want? Like, you take Bird at the top of his game to Durant at the top of his game. I'm taking Bird every time. I mean, he was just a killer. You know what I'm saying? Like, the dude won three MVPs. Whether he deserved, you know, people be like, oh, did he deserve them or not? I don't know. Did Steph Curry deserve two? I don't know. But the dude was considered the best player in the league in his prime. I think so.
Yeah.
And I hated Bird when he played. I was a Lakers fan at that time. Magic Johnson hated Bird in the Celtics. And the day he retired, I was like, yo, that dude is bad. And he was. Like, the dude, first of all, you go back and look at the numbers even. He had years, he was 30 points, averaged 30, averaged over 10 rebounds and like 8 assists. Like,
and shot very well from downtown.
And yeah, and he was shooting 40, like close to 50% from the field. Like, and then, you know, and he went through the battles and won, and he was the best. You know, people say he had help. Yeah, you had help, but he was unquestionably the best player on that team.
No doubt.
Okay. Durant, tremendous skill. You know, whenever I have this debate, even with people who agree with me, they think I'm downplaying Durant a little too much because of his attributes. Like, oh, he's a seven. They always bring up he's a 7-footer who can shoot. When have we ever seen that? True, but I'm talking about their effect on the game. Like, what has he accomplished compared to what you think he should accomplish? You know what I mean?
Is that really a factor when looking at a better player? For you, it is. What do you say?
You know, phenomenal debate.
I do. I think it's a really good question.
I didn't see Bird in his prime.
Right.
But from what I did see in his prime, I think Bird would be a killer in any era.
I agree with that.
You know, for those that want to detract from Bird, they said a lack of athleticism. But we've seen unathletic players still, like Paul Pierce was mentioned earlier.
Or Doncic.
Doncic. You know, or Harden is not super.
Harden? That's another one.
Harden's sneaky athletic.
Like, you know,
he's also boring.
But he's not somebody that is going to get up and just.
Right.
But he's sneaky athletic. I like that word for him. And so, Bird was tough. Can we also acknowledge that? He had toughness.
Bird was tough. And just the level of trash talk. Right. When they say Bird would tell you what he was going to do.
And then do it.
I mean, what level of genius is that? He's in your head so much that he can actually tell you how he's going to score on you, and then do it. Like, that's
so you have Bird over Durant.
I take I would take Bird, especially offensively. I think defensively, Durant and Golden State has stepped it up defensively.
Durant's gotten way better as a defender.
I feel like he kind of had to, too.
And he's gotten way better in the other areas, too. Like, he's a better passer now than he was, you know, a few years ago. Even rebounding, he's picked that up a little.
Yep.
But, you know, I just don't, you know, I don't detract from what he did at Golden State. You know, I don't say, oh, he went to Golden State, so, you know, he goes down, you know, in my list. But I don't, but at the same time, I'm not going to give him credit for, like, let's say, you know, he has two rings. What, he has two rings now?
Two rings now.
I'm not going to say he led that team to two rings. Whereas, I'm not so sure.
Whereas you can say Bird led the Celtics three. So Kevin Bird. See, I just messed that up.
Kevin Bird.
That's an ill player.
That's an ill player right there. Kevin Durant versus Larry Bird. I thought you guys made good cases for Bird. And just maybe why Durant should be dismissed, to be fair. It's tough, man. I probably would go, I'm leaning towards Durant. The only thing that bothers me about saying that is I like Durant as a player, and I think he's sort of fighting against this mold of what we think a superstar should be, mm-hmm. how we should act. But I do like players that are tough, and Bird was tougher, and I do like that trash talk element that Terrell mentioned. But Durant's skill set is very unique to me. Is one thing I haven't seen.
I think Durant's not tough, though.
No, I don't. I'm not saying he's not tough. Yeah. I don't think he's Bird gangster, though. I don't think he's got
probably not.
I don't think he has his. I'm not saying he has to roll that way. I'm just saying I don't think that that's him. Right. I'm not saying he has to.
Yeah.
I think I'm leaning Durant, but this is a really good debate of where we see Durant in his career right now. I'd love to have this conversation again in like 3 years.
I think it's because we were.
I really would.
No, his career number is going to dwarf Bird's.
I think it's because we were talking.
I'm not going to get caught in all that. Sorry to cut you.
I think we were talking about ranking small forwards, and then this is where me and Gerard said that we would put him as, I think, second after LeBron. I think. Is there somebody else there? Am I missing somebody other than Bird?
Pippen.
Yeah, I put him ahead of Pippen.
No, I put him ahead of Pippen. Yeah, but I really like Pippen's somebody I love.
Pippen, or like, we talking Oscar Robertson?
Not Durant, but come on.
No, we don't know that. But I mean, I didn't. You know, I never really saw
Oscar Robertson play.
But he might be a point guard. That's the thing.
Some people have listed him as that.
Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, yeah. He's 6'5".
I'm thinking about like definitive small forwards. You can absolutely say are in that class.
Okay, so I think basically we had Durant there, and our point, my point also was, he's actually better than Larry Bird at scoring, in my opinion. Very efficient, better shooter. Defensively is better.
What if somebody gave you the argument that Larry Bird
If you drop him in the 1980s, they're not going to know what to do with him. Granted, yes, they could be more physical, but I'm not going to sit here and say Kevin Durant as a 7-foot shooting guard can't get his in the 1980s.
I'm not going to say that he can't, but I can tell you what, Larry Bird, as a non-athletic white guy who was crazy efficient, got his in the 80s in a very physical era.
He was very efficient.
Right.
And he was like...
I'm not saying he's not.
It's a great debate.
I think Kevin Durant's more efficient.
He's definitely a better passer than Durant.
I see.
He might be a better rebounder.
I think passing is the only thing definitive that he's definitely
probably,
better at.
If you look at his averages.
But I think Durant gets rebounds in that era too, just by being a 7-foot guard.
He might get less.
I don't know about that.
Because they're grabbing his skinny ass.
No, but here's the thing. But here's another thing we were saying is that like you're kind of brought up. You're kind of brought into when you're into what you're brought into. If Kevin Durant's born in 1970. Or 1965 or whatever, and he's getting into the NBA in the mid-1980s, who's to say that he doesn't have a tougher background? He's from Baltimore.
I'm looking at an ESPN list.
I saw you go into that, and I'm like, I'm watching you scroll through it. I feel it's interesting. That? Keep going. I'm just interested.
Bird, they got
LeBron 1.
LeBron 1, Bird 2, and then 3, Julius Irving.
Oh, okay. You know what's funny? You forgot about that.
Yeah.
That doesn't. You know what? Over Durant. I think Durant's probably a better player.
I agree. Yeah. I'm not taking...
Who was that right after Durant?
Elgin Baylor.
Is Bird definitely better than Julius Irving?
To me, yes.
Bird is, yeah.
Pippen was what, number 6?
Even though Julius Irving.
I'm asking.
Because of the ABA days. Like,
we forget about
his
how
best days were in the ABA.
Good point. Yeah.
When he went to the NBA, he was over 30.
He was like, I think he was like well over 32. I think he was 32 or 33 when he came to the NBA.
Right.
Who's that? I'm just looking at this. I'm so...
Havlicek.
Okay. Keep going. I just want to see what top 10
is. Saw Pippen was 6.
I saw you 6. I saw that.
So Pippen should be
Baylor,
higher
5.
Than
Pippen uh-huh. 6.
Pippen's uh-huh. top 5.
Havlicek 7.
I'll tell you what this list is better than that.
Rick
NBA
Barry 8. James Worthy, 9.
I was going to say James Worthy. Small forward
is 4.
Dominique Wilkins. I would have actually...
No, James Worthy is a 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I would have Dominique a little higher. I think Dominique is one of the most underrated.
He's not a shooting guard?
I agree.
He wasn't just a dunker. Like, the dude... Talk about... Remember he battled Bird, and they were going back and they both dropped like 40?
I thought he would be listed as a shooting guard.
Who?
No.
Dominique.
No, he was a 3. He was a
straight small forward.
Yeah.
Okay. Borderline 4. You know,
like that's not a bad list. Way better than NBA.com.
I think Pippen should be in the top 5, but that's just me.
Okay,
because he's probably the best defender I've seen maybe ever in terms of perimeter and post.
I still feel some kind of way about his dunk on you.
My brother's favorite player ever was Scottie Pippen, so I saw a lot of Bulls stuff just growing up, like old stuff.
But Future disgraced him, so I'm sorry.
You did.
Well,
it's not his fault though. I take it.
No. So guys,
it's Future's fault.
Well, yes.
He likes other dudes. Women,
yes,
you know what I'm
that
saying?
Too. So, guys,
and it's their fault for letting them pounce on them.
Pounce.
All right, we can.
guys, what
pounce.
We do? Yeah, pounce is an interesting word there.
What you ever seen Marcus Corvon's finisher when he was in WWE?
No, it always has to come back to some wrestling stuff.
Look up the
always.
Pounce. Look up the pounce.
I feel like I don't want to.
I'll pass.
Yeah, sounds like I should pass. So, guys, every episode we always choose a number that's from an athlete that's correlated.
Yeah.
So it's Brian's favorite part of the
episode. If you've seen the artwork, so we always put an
56,
athlete's number.
Brian.
Like for 53, I think we had Daryl Dawkins.
Yeah. Chocolate Thunder.
What was 55?
56 is easy.
White chocolate.
56 is easy.
56
is
easy.
All right, hold on.
I like
hold
the,
on.
You're the first person to come here and say it's an easy number.
We'll get into the list.
We have
56.
A list. Go away. Take away the list.
All right. We'll start off with Joe DiMaggio. And the reason why I
Maybe
put that
not
there.
That easy.
He didn't wear 56. His hitting streak was 56.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a fan of those things where you give the hitting streak.
Muhammad Ali.
What about him?
He had 56 wins in his career.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. Okay. He's the greatest. But go ahead.
I'm going to skip this one because I think that's the obvious one.
I think
one.
It's the one you're going to go to.
So I'm going to save that one for
which
last.
Which I said this was easy too. So I was curious where you're going.
All right. Chris Dolman. Anybody?
Chris Dolman.
Stop it.
Keith Brooking.
Who?
LeVar Arrington.
LeVar Arrington, even though he's a Penn State guy.
LeVar Arrington.
Yeah, I met him on the street like last winter when we did the podcast.
Oh, yeah, you told me.
I met him on the street.
Yeah.
Great college player.
Yeah.
I'll definitely get him up here if we could.
He was funny.
Teammate of Courtney Brown. DeMario Davis.
I like DeMario. We had him on the show.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah? How was he?
He's a good
very
guy.
Good.
He's
good.
He's a insightful guy. He's good.
Very.
Yeah.
I'm going to be careful how I say this name.
Yes, be careful.
Hardy Nickerson.
What?
Yeah, I see how you can roll that really quickly. It sounds like something else. Yeah, I get it.
I think he's a linebacker also. I just put it there just in case you guys knew.
Is that Buffalo?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember.
Derek Johnson.
Great linebacker.
Andre Tippett or Tippett?
Tippett.
Pat Swilling. Pat Swilling. These are relief pitchers. Mark, how do you pronounce this dude's last name?
Burley.
Okay. I never could get that
one
right.
He is 56. That's a good one.
Yep.
Gerard Washburn,
mm-hmm.
Brian McRae,
mm-hmm.
Ty Kelly, your boy.
Ty Kelly is who again?
Utility infielder.
Utility infielder. And John Abraham, who wore for 1 year and had 11 sacks for the Jets.
Yeah.
One season.
Before he went to 94.
And Lawrence Taylor.
I mean, LT.
Now, here's the thing that I brought up to Dexter, though. Are you sure? Because he is kind of problematic.
It doesn't matter.
he was problematic to offenses.
Yo, word. Word.
Playing NFL
word.
Football, too.
He was problematic to a lot of offensive coordinators. And
I mean, you talk about from that era, you know, Lawrence Taylor. I mean, he's a guy, even with all his problems, he still was a beast for his career.
When?
He's a Hall of Famer. Compare him to, like, same era, like Gooden and Strawberry, who didn't quite, you know, keep it up. I mean, Taylor's above those dudes.
When football was football, as the white guys like to say.
Look, 56. To me, there's 156. It's Lawrence Taylor.
All right.
Lawrence Taylor's
so no love for Muhammad Ali's wins?
I mean, it's wins. I'm going
to
go. I like
to I know. You don't like you like going jersey numbers.
I
just, not
keep
the wins.
To jersey
I just want
number.
To throw that one in there because I'm like,
that's
Ali.
That's a good
it was
throwing.
A good one. And like,
I threw in 50 when we got to Floyd Mayweather.
And
evidently, he's going to fight some Asian dude and get 51, but whatever.
Whatever. and no disrespect to Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak
right,
either, too.
One.
That's a good one, too. But 56, I think, LT. So
absolutely.
Got to do it.
All right, Lawrence Taylor.
All right, so 56 is Lawrence Taylor. Real quick, you guys, this NBA season, what do you guys, because you guys cover the league, what are you thinking about the season so far? When we had Gerard up here, I said, hey, isn't this still exciting? A lot of people thought, you know, Golden State's going to run away, but the West is so crazy. There's like a great game every night. What are you guys thinking about this season so far?
I think
you hate Trae Young.
Of, I think the demise of the Houston Rockets.
The demise. Ooh, yeah. I like this.
Right now, they'd be out of the playoffs, and I think we knew they were not going to be as good without Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamute. Try to spell that.
I actually could.
But, you know, to be out of the playoffs.
After being a game away from the finals, right?
Right. And if Chris Paul didn't get hurt,
he's hurt again, right?
Championships. Yeah, hurt again, and he got hurt a couple of days ago. So for them to fall off so much is the biggest surprise to me of the NBA season. I also think people didn't, myself included, didn't think about how much better Toronto would be with Kawhi. Kawhi's a lot better than DeMar DeRozan.
Yes.
And they got Danny Green in that trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is a great 3-and-D guy, championship winner, great experience. So I think Kawhi and Danny going to that team, combined with the new coach, has them as one of the best teams in the league, whereas I thought Boston was the clear favorite in the East. Toronto might be to get him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think both good stuff in terms of surprise. What about
Danny Green is back to where he was a few years ago with the Spurs, where he's like that's over 40% from three.
That's a great point, Darrell, that people don't consider Danny Green's impact in that trade and what he's done to that team. I think it's a really great point. What about you, Jamal?
I don't know. This NBA season has been one of the most exciting that I can remember. I mean, I love the NBA, always have. I'm always excited when it comes around. But sometimes when you get to, like, you know, a couple months into the season, you know, league pass gets a little boring. You don't know who to watch. This year, I mean, you just talk about the West. To me, the big story is how deep and good the West is. I know some people try to say that, you know, it may not be as good. It's just parity. But I think it's very good. I mean, you got Golden State still not the one seed. They're still sitting at the 3 a game back. I know they've had injuries, but they're still bunched up with everybody else. You got 14 of the 15 teams are in contention for the playoffs, like legitimately, not just by the numbers, but when you look at the team, you're like, they can make the playoffs.
Everyone except Phoenix.
And Phoenix isn't that bad. They have a potential rookie of the year, maybe not, but they have the potential rookie of the year in Ayton. They got Booker. When Booker's healthy, they have real talent. They have no point guard. I get it. Which is why they're 8-24, but everybody else is in it. So, you got the Lakers story. You got LeBron.
Oh yeah.
I have another group chat I'm in, before the season, I was betting guys. I was like, I bet you. You know, we put something on whether LA was going to be a top 4 seed. I said I thought they'd be like a 5-6. We arguing about it. Let's bet on it. Right now they're sitting at 4. I still think they end up a 5-6. A 5-6 seed.
I had them 4 before the season.
I had them 4 too.
But we're splitting hairs. I also think they might. They're probably going to.
And remember, last year's West, the difference between the 3rd seed and like the ninth, even the ninth seed was like 2 games. Something ridiculous.
And now that ninth seed, Denver, is first.
Right.
Yes. Yeah,
and injured. Do
we think Denver is for real? For real.
I do. When they're healthy,
they're deep, man. So, yeah, I think they are. Now, what is for real, for real?
Is
for real challenge in the world?
Could they get to the Western Conference Finals?
No, I would say semis.
But, I mean, they're number one right now.
But here's the thing. Why could they not get to the Western Conference Finals now?
If we think they're good.
I'm just like throwing a legitimate question. Like, what's stopping them?
Well, I've always said the Lakers will figure out.
Okay, guys,
then
who's the second best team? Okay, if we're still saying that Golden State's the best team, who's the second best team?
In the West?
Yeah.
I'm betting on the Lakers.
Or is the second best team in the NBA in the East?
You know who
I think so.
We haven't mentioned is the Thunder. Right. And the Thunder are the best defensive team in the NBA.
Good points again.
The
yep.
impact of Dennis Schroeder to that team, he's a lengthy defender, a good defender. He also helps you put Russell Westbrook defender. And Russell's actually playing defense a lot better.
And taking less threes.
Because Paul George is having a great
he's guarding more shooting guards. Did
we see that Milwaukee? Anybody surprised by Milwaukee going into Boston last night and just smacking them?
Yo.
Nah.
I'll tell you what, I was surprised.
I'm high on Milwaukee,
fell asleep
man.
Early. I did not watch that game, but that cross that that Giannis did
on Tatum.
I don't know
Ooh. If Boston's as good, but we don't have to get into that right
that's
now.
A, no, but that's a whole nother thing. So you think that anybody think this the second best team? I think you kind of get into that. You think
it could be the Thunder.
It could be Thunder. That's a good point.
And Roberson, great defender.
Yep.
Is still out.
Had another setback.
So, is he even coming back?
I don't know, man. It looks like it might be March, if anything.
That's when they need him. You know, he knows it. He's been with that team forever, knows the defensive schemes.
I can see that.
He can only make them better defensively, right? Absolutely. And they're already number two.
I'm still not counting Utah out either.
Can any of
I'm not counting them out. Of the playoffs. I won't either,
yeah.
But I do feel bamboozled that I believed the hype that they were going to be a top three seed.
I said they'd be the one
in the West.
Yeah,
and
me
I,
too.
You know, I watched them closely because Donovan Mitchell's from here,
yep.
and I knew him from AAU, so I watched them as if like that's my team. And even last year, they came on at the end. I think they took advantage of like the West being there were some weaker teams in the West. They took advantage, and coming into this season, you know, I thought they'd be good. I thought they'd be a playoff team, and then I saw everybody predicting them to be three. I was like, I guess so, and I jumped on that, and now I'm like, I might have been bugging with that one.
Because
who do they have besides Donovan?
There you go. I don't think they have enough offense. They're still good defensively. They're still pretty much up there, even though kind of were middle of the road beginning of the season. They don't have another scorer.
Brandon Ingram in a three-way trade.
But at the same time, they did go to Portland last night and win by 30.
I saw that. Even though I did not – last time I was wondering where nights, I kind of like didn't watch a lot of League Pass, but they did do that. Do you guys – real quick, believe in any of the East teams? We talked about Milwaukee. You brought up Giannis. Toronto we spoke about very briefly. Brian kind of mentioned how Boston's been down, and he's right about that. Philly got better with Butler. Also, we're not talking about the Pacers. Pacers, they play an old style of basketball, but it's been pretty effective. Are any of these teams in the East for real? Could they get to the finals of any of these teams and beat the Warriors?
Anytime you have three potential superstars in Embiid, Butler, and Simmons, you have a shot. So,
right.
I love Philadelphia's top-heavy talent. I don't know if they could beat Toronto. Toronto's the best. I would like to think that Boston will get it together, but they may not. I'm a huge fan of Brad Stevens as a great coach in the NBA. Sometimes too much talent can be a problem.
Yeah.
And through the first 30 games of the season, that's the problem they're having. Also, I'm not the biggest Kyrie Irving fan, and
me
I was
neither.
Listening to some of his comments yesterday. You know, when he says, I can get to the hole or I can score whenever I want offensively, that might rub some of his teammates the wrong way.
And if it's true, do that every play and win the game.
Right.
Because we have not seen that yet.
Right. You know, so I think there's an issue in that locker room. And I don't know if it's going to be solved by the time the playoffs come. And that could derail Boston.
Agree.
Interesting.
And the Nets are making the playoffs, by the way.
Oh. All right, last thing from you. What about the East? Do you like any of these Eastern teams? Are you concerned about Boston? Kind of like Darrell has concerns. What do you think, Jamal?
No, I like the four teams in the East. I'm going to take Indiana. I think Indiana is a solid, good team, but I don't see them as a real threat. To win the East.
Right, yeah.
But I like the four teams. I like Toronto. I mean Toronto's the best right now. Milwaukee, even though I'm trying to be like cautious with them, like not jump on the bandwagon yet, but I mean the more, you know, they keep proving me, you know, keep proving it every night so far.
They look good.
So I would say Toronto. I think Boston's going to be fine. And, you know, a month or two from now they'll be fine. They could play with any team in the league, period. So the Raptors, Boston, and Philly. Raptors, Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly. I think Philly's there because of Embiid and Butler. Simmons. Love Simmons' game, but I'm not sure the toughness is quite there yet. Mm. We'll see when the playoffs come. But I think when people said beginning of the year that the East it was now equal to the West. I think that's nonsense.
It's top heavy.
But the top four of
the
East can play easily with the West.
Agreed.
It's like they're right
four.
There.
Yeah. Agreed. I agree. I'm with you guys both in that. It's been, and O'Brien's felt this way. It's been a very exciting NBA season. I enjoy League Pass every night. It's been fantastic. There's more we're gonna see. It's great. And we'll see if Trae Young becomes an MVP. You know, if
I can even watch Atlanta. You know, there's so many teams I can watch.
If Trae Young becomes an MVP.
Well,
you know you're coming back up here.
Absolutely.
I'm
very confident that's not happening.
If Trae Young becomes an all-star.
We're talking MVP of, like, the rookie game? Or
Which Durrell. Could happen. This game is friendly for Durrell. That. But anyway.
Durrell. Now, if Luka Doncic becomes a three-time MVP and Trae Young doesn't do anything.
Well, yeah. But, you know.
Somebody will be fired in Atlanta for making that trade.
Oh, I mean, but those are kind of trades.
Well,
you've
said that also.
You got to be right on those trades.
Yeah.
You got to be.
You
got
to get it.
We'll see.
All right.
And when Doncic wins a rookie of the year, I'm coming for you, Jamal.
There you go. I didn't say it wouldn't happen.
I know you didn't say that. Hey, great discussion. Thank you guys both for coming up here. That's Jamal Murphy. He is AKA the Blackitologist. You can definitely follow his work. And Durrell Johnson, also known as Jazz Johnson. You can follow him on Twitter.
Absolutely. Jazz Johnson 10, the number 10.
Number 10.
10 on Twitter.
Yes, follow them both. Great guys to follow covering the NBA. They will be back to talk, and we'll have more NBA debates, as I'm sure. Just don't kill each other in the group chat. keep Brian sane. All right, that's it for episode number 56 of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Thank you to our guests, Jamal Murphy and Durrell Johnson. For Brian Fonseca, I'm Dex Henry. Until next time, y'all. Peace.
Yep.